session. I want to talk a little bit about healing and things and get some stuff out there. And I might say some things, honestly, might say some things different than you believed your whole life or been taught your whole life. That's not because I'm trying to be divisive. I'm just going to read the word and just think about some things here, because I'm concerned when it comes to healing that we, through our experience, have built a list so long and made it so complicated that we've got so many reasons why it might not or can happen that we're very hesitant to even step out in this whole arena called healing because we've been confused. And we've seen a lot of people not healed, or we know people in the church we've all prayed for and they didn't live, and all that stuff gets in our head and we think we have to answer that and make up reasons why. And I think our answers are at the cost of truth. Truth makes us free, so we've dug ourselves a hole. Like, we have 30 reasons why people aren't healed, or 33, I think it's up to now. I don't know, the latest book. And I'm thinking, Jesus didn't have that book in his back pocket. The reason he didn't is because it wasn't his experience. The only reason we have it is because it's ours, and we feel like we have to explain it. Well, if you accept one of those reasons as viable, you just put a ceiling over the power of God in your life. You've just stopped yourself from growing past that reason. And I bet the gospel's greater. I bet your love's greater. I bet nothing stopped Jesus. We're going to talk about it a little. We have to be careful that we stay out of the picture and let Christ rule and reign in this whole equation. And we've made this thing more difficult than it is. We've made it all about us. Our prayers, praying better prayers, praying more spiritual prayers, emphasizing the name of Jesus. Jesus is not synonymous to abracadabra. He's the name above every name. Faith isn't a method. Prayer isn't why men are healed. It's the finished work of Christ. Believing is why men are healed. It has nothing to do with what you pray. It has to do with what you believe. And we get so self-conscious in our prayer that a lot of people don't pray for the sick because they don't know what to pray. Be healed. Be made whole. Come out of him. It's probably good enough when you believe. And any of us can pray that, can't we? See, we turn this thing into works when it's grace. And we try to fill something that's already complete. Come on. If I'd take a survey and you'd be honest, there's a lot of folks sitting here that you've prayed, and as soon as you start praying for the sick, you wondered if you were praying good enough, right enough, and became very conscious of what you were saying. Be honest and raise your hands if that ever happened to you praying for the sick. Now look around, be honest, hold your hands high, because mine's up too. It's almost unanimous. So tell me these aren't stronghold things that are trying to hold us back and keep us self-centered, self-conscious, and insufficient. When the finished work of Christ is enough. That's why I'm teaching this stuff I'm teaching, because it'll break these things off of us and get us back to the truth and back to freedom, because the truth will make us free. And all of a sudden, I don't have to produce anything. I put all my confidence in what's already finished. I can't get a man out of a coma, but the Spirit of God can. Guess where he is? In me. Oops, I believe it. I've seen about 5 folks come out of comas. It's really fun. One was a young boy. He was in there for a long time. I was talking to his parents. His parents started crying. I'm preaching Jesus just like I am now. My heart was like, zzz, zzz, zzz. And I'm like, man, I feel born again. You know, it was just one of them born again moments. And I said, see, it's the will of God. It's all the power of God. It's not all the fasting and all the praying and all the trumpets and all the shofars and all the flags. We get into works with that, guys. We're trying to get a move of God, and we have a move of God. It's faith through Jesus. It's Jesus. I looked, I turned, and I spoke his name and said, look at me, son. He's laying there like on life support and feed stuff. He goes, right. Next day, he's off of everything. See what's wrong with me? I'll tell you some things like that so you understand what's wrong with me. The gospel's true. Oops. Now see, just because we haven't seen everybody jump like that, then we ask questions and we rewrite a book that's already written. I won't let my natural knowledge change the truth that's eternal. I'll go back to the life of Jesus, and if my experience doesn't measure up to the life of Jesus, I will can my experience and keep seeking him. I do not have to answer my experience. I answer to his word. And if his word says they heal, then they heal. And if they died, then I just need more of him, and I need to keep seeking, and I'm going to pray for the next one. And ain't nothing even about that that can even hold me back. Yeah, but brother, we prayed and prayed and prayed, and if it was the will of God, they would have been. Stop that. You're making God's word in so many ways. That is human reasoning, human wisdom, in the way that seems right to a man, trumping truth again. And yet truth's the same. Come on, we better be humble here. Jesus' own men prayed for an epileptic boy. Are you aware of that? His nine disciples prayed for an epileptic boy and he was not cured. It's a New Testament example of when men that were anointed by God and called by God prayed and it didn't happen. But Jesus didn't say all the stuff we say. Jesus said it's what they fail to see and understand and believe, that their minds were in the way. And he corrected them strongly in that chapter, which means they could have healed the boy. We'll look at it.
We're going to have to tell by your eyes. We got to look at that one.
I want you to see this quick. Verse 8 and 9 of chapter 10 of Luke. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, each such things are set before you. In other words, don't be particular and say, oh man, why'd they bring me into their house? They don't have steak. It means a few things, but it just means be thankful and don't expect things. Just give love. But watch this. That's combined 8 and 9. We won't do injustice to the scripture. Whatever city you enter, look at verse 9. Heal the sick there. Right? And say to them, the kingdom of God has come. If you say the kingdom of God has come after you pray and after they're healed, they might know nothing before you prayed. So how could they have faith? What's first in this commission? It's healing the sick before even speaking the word. Is it? Whatever city you're in, heal the sick and tell them the kingdom's here. In Matthew 10, he says, go preach saying the kingdom of God's here and heal the sick, cleanse the leper, cast out devils, and raise the dead. In Luke 10, he flips it when he adds 70 and says, just go heal the sick and tell them it's because the kingdom's here. In today's culture, I like that one. Because people have enough background, enough religion, enough theology in them that if you try to talk Jesus first, they'll try to talk you out of it and tell you why it's their thorn and tell you why it's not their time and tell you why they already pray and have 100 people praying for them and that's good enough and what are you going to do different? And all these reasons why not to love them with the gospel. I said, if you have to believe it's the will of God to heal people. How are you going to have faith? How are you going to have the substance of what you hope for, the evidence of what you haven't seen, if you haven't established and settled the will of God in your heart? What gives me the confidence to pray for the sick? Because I believe it's God's will to heal and touch the sick. Come on, it's not just because they're sick. It's because God said, go, and whatever city you're in, heal the sick. Watch this. This is so simple. We fight in the body of Christ over the will of God to heal because people haven't been healed. And we use that as our evidence. And we let experience trump the validity of God's word. And we wouldn't dare think that we're missing something.
Ooh.
I didn't say that meanly. We're missing something. You guys making sense of this whole thing? Let's not let anything stop the power of God. Let's not have any reason why not. Let's settle on one reason why it's possible and grow into that until it's our reality. I've been in four churches that I remember that I'm aware of where every single person we prayed for was healed and it didn't matter what was wrong. From hearing to crippled stuff, it was some extreme stuff, to light. You know what I mean by that? We see things on a scale. To heaven, it's all the same. The reason we see it on a scale is why we receive it on a scale. If we'd see it all the same, we'd see different results. We hear cancer and dig in and try to pray a better prayer. We hear backache and we pray. We hear cancer and we go, oh God, and we pray deeper. What are we saying? Cancer, you're powerful. Cancer, you intimidate me and you're amazing. And you've heard a lot of my folks and friends. And if we don't pray hard, God might not move and we might not win. Oh God, cancer's tough. That's what you're saying when you dig in deeper for cancer. You're actually exalting cancer. Because it's hurt so many of us. And its natural reality has a voice. I don't think Jesus is intimidated by cancer. I think we've just been hurt by it. And we've meant well, and we've prayed a lot, and we haven't seen victories a lot. So when we hear cancer, we're moved by the loss instead of the promise. And the problem becomes our identity, and now we're fighting our way to God from the problem. Happens all the time. I've watched and looked and I pay attention, and most of the time Christians pray, they're driven by the problem. Faith doesn't come because you have a problem. Faith comes because of love. Faith comes because of the word and the promise. We're not problem-driven people, we're promise-driven people. We're answer-driven. We have a victory in Christ that we're contending for and appropriating because his word is true. It's not just because we read our Bible and have Christian rites. It's because we have a covenant and a relationship with God. Some of us are discouraged and hurt because we tried everything and prayed everything we were supposed to pray. And we've turned relationship into a method, a Christian method to get results and help in a time of need. And there's discouragement then. No, it's relationship and growing up in him in all things. And faith working through love and love never failing. And us knowing our place. One thing I really want to encourage you in, and I'm not going to try to, I'm way past debate. Can you understand that I'm a free and happy-go fella? I'm like having fun in the gospel. Can you tell that I sincerely believe at least what I'm telling you? Okay, now watch. I'm way past debate. Like people that don't understand or have no Christian experience and no experience in healing, they want to fight or debate or tell you why not. You're way late for me. A guy like me will just make you more frustrated without trying. Because you're not going to pull me into that. I'm having too much fun. I just understand you don't understand, and that's not an arrogant phrase. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of people get healed. Hundreds. And I've seen people not get healed. I've seen people that had to die, die. But I've seen people that had to die, live. And I've gotten over the struggle of that a long time ago, and I'm just going after what's possible, what's God, period. And I'm building on what he's doing. I'm not trying to write theology. It's already here. It's the life of Jesus. Jesus is perfect theology. He's the visible image of an invisible God. He's the expressed image of his person, the outraying of his brightness. When you see him, you've seen the Father. Jesus is the Tada of God. God came out like he is through the life of Christ. So he is the will of God revealed. Jesus is the will of God revealed. We're still trying to figure out God through life. We're saying, well, God's this way because of this. Well, you know God's this way because of that. Well, this worked this way, so God must this. Well, you know how God sometimes because this went this way. And we're still analytically processing God through the course of life. God's come out like he is through Jesus Christ. And if what you believe about the will of God doesn't measure up to the life of Jesus, throw it out of your belief system. It's simple. It's a new covenant. Through his blood, he's a new and living way. He's a high priest that lives forever and changes not, he's able to save to the uttermost, that means completely and forever, those who come to him by faith. So he wants us to lock into the truth of who God is through him. And we're still trying to find God through the experiences of our life. And we say because somebody died, because Bill died and Bob lived, God heals some and doesn't heal all. Well, Jesus didn't declare that. Life declares that. But Jesus didn't declare that. John 1 says that no one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father has declared him to us, and in the last days God has spoken through his Son. Well, Jesus didn't declare God heals some and doesn't heal all. Circumstances have declared that. So who's the voice of truth? Circumstances or Jesus? God's magnified his word above all of his name. So I bet we ought to magnify his word above our circumstances, how we feel and what we think. Come on, let's get humble and really die. Or we know it all. And our knowledge is puffing us up and putting a ceiling over the power of God that we desperately need. Come on, I'm preaching straight. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm letting this thing fly. This thing's real. That's the effect it has on me. You have no idea when this thing came alive in me 16 years ago, that's exactly what I was doing in my bedroom right there. Because nobody told me this and nobody was bold enough to even declare this was possible, making excuses for the lack of power and explaining away the deaths of people. And all of a sudden I'm just trapped in life, being subdued when I'm created to subdue, to be bold as a lion and be righteous and win. So I've been on a tangent for 16 years and ain't nobody stopping me. I'm telling you, you don't even have to agree with me, but I'm cheering you on to agree, but you can't stop me. You can disagree all you want and people are still going to get healed and you'll just get mad. Come up with another reason why or why not. It's the truth, I'm telling you. Come on, let's run with the gospel. Let's get on page with heaven. Jesus did not declare the Father as heals some and doesn't heal all, did he? He healed all that came to him, and everyone he touched was healed. So he declared that it's the will of God to heal. If he just said to one person, I'm sorry, I can't, it's not your time, or it's not my will, or it's not God's will, or it's not for me to do. If he just said it one time concerning healing, we'd have a reason to not believe. Because then everybody you pray for, you'd wonder if they're in that category. Are you following me? Come on. If Jesus made one exception, just one exception, then we throw that person in front of us into that exception. But because we let our experience be our doctrine, they're already in that exception because we've created many exceptions. We say stuff like, well, you know, all in God's good time. The time for salvation, soteria, healing, deliverance, and preservation is now. Today is the day. Now is the time. Well, it's not God's will. If it was God's will, they'd be healed. It's not an abracadabra. It's the prayer of faith that saves the sick. That's why I took you to this scripture. I didn't forget where I took you. It's James 5. It's not an ordinance. You're not just praying and saying, well, whatever will be. If it's God's will to heal, he'll get healed. Be healed. Well, I guess it wasn't God's will. Come on. It's not it. It's the prayer of faith. What's faith? Hebrews chapter 11. What's faith? Faith is the substance. You know what substance means? It means the realization, the tangibility. The realization of what you what? Hope for. How can I have the realization of my hope? The realization of my hope unless I've established and settled the will of God in the matter. Where's faith come from? Knowing the will of God. Faith works through love. Faith doesn't work because I have a problem. Need works because I have a problem. And need drives fear. Faith works through love, and love casts out fear. We pray from fear a lot. We hear we have cancer, we're going to die, or Sally has cancer, going to die, and the whole church goes into fasting and praying because they're scared half to death she's going to die. So they go into Christian performance to get a breakthrough, and the stone's already rolled away. Come on, I'm letting her fly. I hope you're hearing me. And then we say, but the whole church was praying. We all were praying. There was 150 praying. It couldn't have been God's will or she'd have been healed because we were all praying. I don't know what we were doing. I'm not sure because the Bible says if a man has faith and says to the mountain, move, it will move. So if it doesn't move, we're missing something. We're not seeing something. We're good, sincere people, and we don't want Sally to die. But we're letting our emotion and our empathy drive us in prayer and turning this into a method when it's relationship and the power of God. Come on. You can't take things personal. You take the gospel personal. You can't just pray because it's Sally and oh my God, she's the sweetest thing that ever was. The flowers bloom when she walks by. How can she die? She can't have cancer. Not Sally. Well, not anybody. But that stuff gets in you emotionally and you start praying for all the wrong reasons. They seem right, but they don't have the power of God. And you can see that we're on a wrong track because then the results causes great animosity and division among us. And now we have camps and rivers and streams that God never built and dug. Because we're justifying our own experiences and our own belief systems. And a lot of our belief system came through our life instead of Jesus' life. A lot of what we believe transpired through the way life's been. There's people that are so discouraged with healing because they prayed and prayed for an uncle and he didn't get healed. And they said, never again. It's all the more reason because God's word says it can happen. Then there has to be something I need to see. There has to be something. There has to be something that I can be enlightened in. God forbid I get selfish, personal, turn inward, and quit in something I'm predestined for. God forbid I throw in the towel when it's not even my privilege because I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. Have your way in me, God, and give me a revelation. I'm going after this thing. We might have lost my uncle, but God forbid we lose any more. Because I promise you, you take a back seat, you take a bench, you're going to watch more and more and more die, and your heart's going to get harder and harder and harder, and your belief system will be justified by the more deaths and the more deaths, and you will be a million miles from the power of God and truth, and you will just settle into a doctrine that tries to protect your soul, but you're not okay. I'm letting her fly here. I hope you're getting all this. It's on tape. And I'm not mad at you. Can you see how intense I am on this? I'm so intense, there's nothing I can do about that. It's not personally towards you. It's because this lie is costing us so much. I am done with our people dying, with people of the world dying. Come on, and you are too. And we don't need a reason why to give it permission to keep happening when our hearts aren't good with that. You can come up with reasons, but you're still not ready for all these people to die. You can see it whirlwinding if we're not careful. This isn't false and negative prophecy. It seems to be more profuse. There's more cancers than you've ever heard about. People are wondering more if they're more vulnerable and me next and this and that. And it's trying to create a hysteria and a fear among people. I woke up a year ago and the Lord said, my people feel vulnerable in the world in which they live. He said, vulnerability is fear. And I just bawled and bawled, and God ministered to me, and I interceded and prayed for us as a people. Because we're so worried about what we ate and what we didn't eat and what was in our water and all, and we forget the covenant and God and the preservation of life. And now we use wisdom and try to this and that, and most of it is fear. Trying to not this and do this and don't do this and do that. It's because we're vulnerable. Because we're a problem waiting to manifest. We give flu a season. We do. And we take shots so it doesn't get us. You're not putting your flu on me. And I'm not an arrogant man. I'm telling you plain. You ain't putting it on me. I don't fear it, and it ain't touching me. It never has, and it ain't gonna. And I'm not an arrogant man. Heaven and hell knows what I'm saying right now. You might misunderstand, but they both know, and that's all that matters to me. So you can write a book or an article on me right now and say I'm some kind of something. But you'll see that flu that you give a season, it ain't getting on me. You ought to feel what I'm feeling right now. See, because I know where I'm coming from when I'm talking like this. I'm not being arrogant, and I'm not condemning you for ever having the flu. I'm saying what we make allowance for and what we see and believe is what determines us most of the time, and we don't understand that. Because you feel you're vulnerable, you're set up for the experience. And we're afraid to believe and think we're extreme and out of balance to start making declarations when nobody's looking. He doesn't want us vulnerable like that. It's not. We're afraid to be presumptuous. We're afraid to be arrogant and puffed up and think of ourselves more highly than we ought. We throw those scriptures in there to stop truth. I'm not thinking of myself more highly than I'm what? I'm thinking of myself the way he's teaching me I am. It's what he said. It's his idea. He's the one that said, greater is he that's in me. So if I start walking without fear, am I presumptuous? He said, fear not. So do I have to attain a certain level of intimidation to at least stay real and relatable and balanced? Come on, he said, don't worry. So I'm never going to worry ever again. And I don't, and I won't. And you can say, you're in denial, brother. Well, time will tell. I don't worry. I don't even understand it anymore. I trust Jesus. And my life's not my own. And if things aren't working the way they seem, something's going to work to the good because he loves me and I love him and we're in covenant and it's going to be fine and I ain't losing sight of truth. He taught me how not to fear. When my wife was hit with this thing and she was on life support and had severe brain damage and in a coma, and all of a sudden I get the understanding and the call of her condition and all the stuff they want to do and spinal tap because she's going to die. And I said, listen, man, now's not the time for me to get a medical education. That's what you went to school for, bud. And I appreciate whatever you do for my wife. You just do what you think's right. I'm not a kind of guy that'll contest that or sue you. You just do what you think is right. But I'm going to tell you who I am and where I'm at with this. And I told him. And he said, well, sir, I appreciate it, but I have to face reality. And your wife did. I said, sir, you missed everything I've said. I have faced reality. And I'm coming in to see her and lay my hands on her. Now, I can't be, oh, my God, my wife, and I see other people's wives heal. God, you got, why did you let this happen to my wife? God, where do we open the door? What's the devil do? Why? And all I'm telling the devil is I don't have a clue who I am, and you just rocked and reeled me forever, and I am so ungrounded and so unfounded and so unrooted and so ungrounded. Are you kidding me? What does that phone call change about the gospel? How can I lose anyway? Let's just say my wife's dead before I even get in there. I'll miss her physically. I'll lose her for temporal. We've already won in Christ. She's eternal. And I'm going to run harder to the finish line just because. Foul devil, somehow you snuck through and got one up on us. It seems that you didn't. You made me more tenacious. More the worst thing I could do is get hurt, mad at God, and pull back. and take life personal and take loss personal and get dismantled and prove that I'm in this for me and not his glory. Come on, life's a gift. Your kids are a gift. Your spouse is a gift. Don't you covet what was given by God. God never gave you a gift at the cost of who he is. He gave you a gift to realize the goodness of who he is. And if something gets hit in warfare, don't you blame God and back out. You suit up and fight all the more. You lose a child, you run harder to the finish line so you can embrace them and God in the end. Don't you step back and don't you bow out. See, I can't lose. We've already won. So when I get that phone call, I can't lose. But she can get up, and you better believe it. And I promise you, I ain't afraid. And I promise you, I ain't crying, and oh my God, 17 prayer chains, please pray for my wife. That's fear. That's a fear line when you do that. The more people praying, the better, brother. One in face the majority. Move that mountain! Right. See? You have to be through some of this stuff so it's not a philosophy or a theory. To see, we're afraid of the den and the night in the lion's den. We're afraid because we think the lion's going to bite us. What do I care if I'm in a lion's den overnight? If he's Lord, he's going to shut the mouth of every lion. I'm in covenant. I'm innocent in his sight through the blood. I'm not condemned. I'm justified. We're praying to stay out of the den because we're not sure they won't bite. We're praying to stay out of fire because we think it'll burn. The fire was never the issue. It's who the Lord is that was the issue in that story. It never was ever about the fire, or the fourth man would have put it out when he showed up. He doesn't give it enough honor to put it out. He's Lord over it. Why put it out when he's king? Just let his boys be free in the middle of it, right in the face of adversity. Let them be loosed and free and no smell of smoke. See? I don't look like I've been in a fire as a way of smell of smoke, but see the passion right now in me? Did you see how I changed in the last half hour? You know why? Because I've been in that den, and this ain't a philosophy to me. And I've been in that furnace, and you better believe there's a fourth man. His name is Jesus, and he is my king. This ain't a game. It ain't a philosophy. It ain't a religion. It ain't a doctrine. It's real, and it's relationship, and it's love never fails. But if it's about me in that fire, you better believe I'm toasty bacon. If it's about him in that fire, it has nothing on me. Are you following me? You see what's wrong with me right now? This gospel's true. That's what's wrong with me. I had the great privilege of being fearless and walking into my wife and popping her eyes open and saying, hey, girl, I had my son, your boys are here to see you. And we come to get you out of this nap. And we didn't chant and pray and blow four shofars and wave three colors of flags. And I know we say God tells us to do that stuff, but sometimes we're just trying hard because we care. But we feel the trouble. I'm being honest. Is it okay if I'm just a straight shooter? Come on, don't you get offended with me. We do care. We're good people. We don't want our loved ones to die. And we're trying hard, but I think too hard. I want to be a better believer, not a better flag waver. And I'm good with flags. I love it in worship and stuff. But my wife ain't getting healed because I waved the right color flag. My wife's getting healed because Jesus raised from the dead. Are you hearing me? I know that offends some folks, and I'm not trying to be offensive. But you pray for 20 seconds over her and speak life over her, and you take your boy and you walk out of the room and take him home. He grabs you in the hall and cries profusely and says, Dad, I so appreciate you because I realize you don't see what I see. He cried out as a teenager, Dad, you don't see what I see. That's the difference between you and me. You don't see what I see. You didn't see what I saw in that room. I said, I don't know anything else to see. Jesus is Lord. He's crying, hold me crying. I said, I'll take you home. Now listen, you have no permission to be depressed, and you're going to school tomorrow. And you're going to be a blessed boy because your mama's in the hand of the living God. Yes, Dad. Took him home. I went back, sat in the windowsill. It was an hour and a half total after we had touched her. I watched her open her eyes on the life support, come out of the coma. They ran an EEG, and her brain was normal. That ain't happening because I fretted and feared. It's easy to do that in the flesh. That's the flesh reaction. You don't live from your flesh. You live by your spirit. You know what's cool? I could have been pumping gas on my way to the hospital and you would have never known what was going on. Because it ain't the story of my day. He's the story of my day.
He's the headline on the front page, baby.
How you doing, Dad? Oh, my God, I'm glad I bumped into you. This is so God. Please keep us in prayer. Oh, my God, I just got to call my wife. Please call so-and-so. And so-and-so. Get praying. I'm going out to see her now. That's what we do. And we call that faith. No, that's panic and fear, and we've become a product of the trouble. Don't you get condemned by what I'm saying. You be challenged by what I'm saying. He said, do not fear and do not worry. And the first two reactions of our lives in trouble is fear, worry, and then prayer. And then we pray from the place of being dismantled and identified by what's wrong. And we lose sight of what's right. And we get reduced to taking the Bible, turning it into a method that we apply, hoping it works because we're in a jam. And then we get disappointed with it. And we... He's not a method. He's my Father. And he's with me. You better believe it.
Man, I feel him now. I do. He's all over me. I like it. I like to feel the presence of God. But if I didn't feel it, guess what? I'm a son and he loves me. So you can't lose. Yay. You follow me? I don't have much time. I don't know how I get in on all those stories, but
it's the authority of the believer. Look, all authority... Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. That's Jesus' declaration coming out of the grave and seeing his disciples. All authority. How much authority? In heaven and on earth, go therefore. Did you just hear that? What's he doing? He's knighting you with that authority. He's dubbing you with what he just won. He's saying, you're in me and I'm in you and we're one. I'm going to ascend to the Father. You're going to stay on the earth. Father, I don't pray that you take them out of the earth. Just keep them from the evil one because they're going to rock the world in my love. So I'm coming to you and you're coming to them through the Holy Spirit. And I just gave them authority. Yay. I rule the kingdom with a scepter of righteousness. They're right in our sight. Righteous, righteous. You kneel and bow before him and he knights you. Right with him. Right with him. Right with him. Run well. Right with him.
Yay!
Well, how much authority? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore. What's he saying? You're in me and I'm in you. I've chose you. You're my body. You're my people. Who I am, I've given to you. What I am, I've given to you. You're lacking no good thing. Now be of courage and go after this thing. It's all through our Bibles in every commission. It's the connection. Even when he says he's raised above every name and every tongue and heaven and earth and under the earth gonna bow and worship in Jesus, he says, you therefore, he goes right into us. He says he's the head over power and principality and over all things, even to the church, who is his fullness, who fills all in all. He says, to the glory of God through the power that work in us. In Corinthians, in Ephesians, he says, who can do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask, think, or imagine by the power that worketh in us. Everywhere he exalts Jesus highly, he connects us at the end. It's amazing. We're waiting on God, and I really believe he's waiting for us to understand and to stop being afraid and stop being subdued by the earth, but start subduing.